home, we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, at Baltimore Positive. I might not shave until hockey season's over. I'm not sure. But, I was perusing the web last week, and I see old friends doing amazing things. And when I see this, I feel like I need to reach out to these people. And some of them can't get down here for a Maryland lottery, a cash ticket, or to come down and have a crab cake with me on a call, because some of them don't live here. But this person is from here. She is a Bel Air native. When I caught up with her about 2 years ago, she had released a book called The World According to Bess, a funny, unfiltered memoir of life lessons from my 90-year-old mom. And I confided in her that I had just lost my 98-year-old mother before that. She is the wife of one-time Orioles pitcher, which is why I wore my Orioles colors for her, John Habian. We all remember, I had John Habian's Stratomatic card back in the 80s. Stop with that. He went on to pitch for the New York Yankees. She has been his wife for many, many years after serving as, I believe she was Miss Oriole, and she was like a ball girl on the field, and Mike Marsh had her running around
totally
selling
different.
Miller Lite at some point back in the 80s, correct?
Yeah.
Bonnie Lorber Habian is our guest. She is fresh off something that I've never done, but people have sort of encouraged me to want to do. And no, it's not be a contestant on Jeopardy. It is be a TED talker. And I saw your TED talk, Bonnie, and I said, I got to text her. I got to get her back on, because we were going to get a crab cake, and then there was a plague, and then there was a mask, and then your mom passed, and you were doing a book. Like, all this stuff has happened. One day we're going to be in the same room together.
Yes,
but until
absolutely.
Then, I was really, really pleased to see your TED talk and see you pursue one of life's passions and see it through.
Yeah, you know, it's been quite a journey. I mean, since we've talked, my mom passed away, which was very hard, but she was able to be there, very special time. Even after I spoke with you, I did a book signing at Barnes & Noble, and she was able to be there that August before she passed, and that was probably the last time she was out. So we have very good memories about that day, and so I'm really glad we were kind of able to experience all of that. But yeah, the last couple of years have been a little crazy, in a good way. I work for an amazing company in New York, which I love very much, and they're very good to me. They let me kind of be me, which is wonderful. So since writing this book, I've, you know, been able to start a podcast and do some other things.
You're a marketer by trade, correct?
I am a marketer by trade. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I always on my bucket list have always wanted to do a TED talk. And now I know the process is a little arduous. It's very competitive.
What is the process? Please tell me, because I became familiar with this maybe 10 years ago, and there may be some people in our audience that don't know what TED Talks are as well. I do, and I like watching them. I don't know that I'm like Wayne's, where I'm not worthy. Like when I met Alice Cooper, I'm not worthy, you know? I guess there comes a point where you get passionate enough that you want to
do
it, you break through, right?
Well, I will laugh. Listen, you're right. Some people really know it and some people don't, because when I told someone I was doing a TEDx talk, they said, I didn't know FedEx has talks. I'm like, oh my goodness, no, TEDx. So yeah, there it's a very tough process. I mean, you have to audition and you send in and you say, listen, I hope that what I'm bringing aligns with whatever their theme is, because they all have themes. My understanding, there's about 2,000 of them across the entire world. And the TEDx ones are organized locally. So it's a highly competitive process. At least from my research shows that probably for every TED Talk, there may be 200 or so applicants, sometimes more, and they select 10. And I think some of it's, you know, luck. Some of it's kind of if you're going to align with the theme. And a lot of it, from what I've learned as well, because I actually, you know, hired a coach to go through it, you have to be deliberate and make sure that you are following kind of all of the reason why TED is in being, and, you know, and what it's about. And so I think putting all of those elements together and really approaching it like, I want to do this was a good thing. So
at its heart, define what a TEDx talk is and what drew you to it.
I think the best thing is sharing ideas worth spreading, right? And to me, it ended up going back to my lessons with my mother again, which was really crazy. I wanted to do something more in business. And then when I started kind of putting things together, I came up with this, you know, impactful thought: who has impacted your life and have you told them yet? And so that was really the premise of my speech. And so it was very funny, but, you know, I also had people crying at the end. So it was this kind of full circle of, listen, do not wait until they are in a ceramic urn on your bookshelf. You need to do this now. So that's an idea worth spreading. And I think just in giving that speech here and there, people have come up to me and said, you know, I did tell my mom, or I did tell my bestie from high school. Amazing, amazing, kind of knowing that something you've said or felt, you know, kind of got out there. So found out in December that I had been selected, and I just did it last week, which was last Saturday
Do
in
you have to
Gainesville.
present the actual speech to them to be cleared before you give it? Or no, you're giving it on the fly?
No, you do. I work with someone from the TEDx group. I've worked with him for five sessions. They're very strict. You know, they have their own kind of rules, but you need to work with someone. You need to, you know, kind of make sure that it falls within the realm of hopefully that they get on YouTube, right? That's the whole purpose.
How long
get
is the the TEDx talk that you gave?
Mine was 15 minutes, and it is all by memory. You do not get any sort of confidence monitor or teleprompter.
Oh,
You
so
are
you
doing
really
it.
Aren't reading from anything at all.
No, you
Okay.
are not.
Okay.
You
It is
are not.
a true presentation. In
It
the way that I do this
flies.
radio show. I don't have notes here, Bob. Yeah.
That, you know what? And I have so much credit. I mean, have so much like I admire people that are able to talk on the fly like that, because it's, you know, it's kind of a gift. But I gotta tell you, memorizing something and having to go out in front of a live audience for
Impossible
15
for me to
minutes.
do that. It would be impossible for me to memorize
It was
even
tough.
like a poem. Like I have, I always say, like I've had actors on and different people like that. I'm like, I John Scheck was on. Like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't
Oh,
remember a script. You know, I know you guys know each other, and I know him, and I saw him during the holidays, and he was on a couple of weeks ago. He's got a new TV show coming out. Please go watch it. But so I want to tell you this because I saw your speech, and it really resonated with me because I'm 55 and I very recently did something. And it's not, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling, I don't think I've talked about this even on the air, but during AFC Championship game week here, I disappeared for a couple of days, and anybody in my audience would know why I would want to disappear for a couple of days. And I went out to the West Coast and did some stuff I've never done. That's my bent right now. My whole thing now is I'm only really interested in doing things I've never done because I've done so many things in my life, right? And I want to do new things. So I'd never been to Lake Tahoe. I went to Lake Tahoe. But I have someone in Sacramento who, when I was 15 years old, I worked at the newspaper. And he was the editor of the entertainment section. And he took a shine to me. I was a kid. I was 15 years old, sitting in the newsroom. And he said, "Hey, kid, you know a little bit about music. There's a guy named Steven Tyler from
Oh,
Aerosmith that's going to be
gosh.
calling. Can you ask him some questions?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I did a good job. And he's like, "You like music? Just pick some bands you want to interview in here. Call their, just tell, get some interviews." Next thing you know, I'm on the phone with Geddy Lee from Rush. I'm on the phone with Kevin Cronin. And I did that work for 8 years. And I have relationships with rock stars. And like all these years later, that man was a guy named Scott LaBar. He's on my Facebook page. He's been my Facebook friend for 15 years, as long as you've been Facebooking. And I've said hello and this and that, but I've never talked to him. I've never been in the room with him. And I've always kind of wanted to thank him. So he's lived in Sacramento. He's the executive editor of the Sacramento Bee. You can look it up. He's been there for 40 years when he left the newspaper here. And I drove into Sacramento. I walked into his newsroom. I sat down with a coffee. I sat across the table from him, and I said, "Thank you. What you did for me didn't mean anything to you. It doesn't even mean, you don't even know why the hell I'm even here thanking you, because it was such a fly on the wall, stupid thing you did 40 years ago. You have no idea how that launched my
Listen,
confidence to be able to do anything, that I could do anything."
I agree. You know what it is? Because life is all about connecting. If we really come down to it, it's about making connections. And that sort of connection, right, is life affirming, but he also kind of gave back to you. So for you to say thank you, I can't tell you. I am sure maybe he didn't show you much, but that means a lot, especially if you know you've impacted someone's life. People don't tell you, and maybe you don't realize the impact you have on someone's life. That is life affirming, and that is all about what I was speaking about, what I'm saying. You do these things now because it's the best gift you can give someone. It absolutely is.
Best gift you can give anybody is to come and say thank you for something they did or even didn't
you made
do,
a
or
difference.
an unintended consequence, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's so important. And I think more than ever in today's world, when we're so kind of with self-gratification and we're just so, you know, preoccupied with the way the world is evolving and so many things are changing, we don't stop sometimes and say, you know what? I need to just let someone know that they've helped me get where I am, because none of us are self-made. I'm not self-made, right? We're all kind of made and nurtured by people who've helped.
Well, we're all born helpless. Let's start with that, right?
We are. Literally. Yeah, absolutely.
Literally.
So, I mean, I just think it's very powerful, and be able to spread that idea a little bit. I mean, after the talk, I had people coming up showing me like really intimate photos of their last moments with their mom. It's made a connection. And that's what this process, the TEDx journey, I made stronger connections with my family. My daughter came down to see me with the people I met. 2 days, I didn't know these people. I'm straightening bow ties by the before they're going out, you know, on stage. And I would say, you know, connecting with the audience, all about connecting. And that's really cool.
Well, Bonnie Lorber of Bahabian is here. She is married to a baseball player, which I found interesting, and I'm wearing my orange. You want to tell your baseball journey just for folks who don't know who you are, and we'll plug your book and certainly, you know, talk some more about gratitude and
Yeah. Well, I met my husband in a very interesting way. Everyone loves the story. My daughter loves the story, too. I was working for the Baltimore Orioles in 1987. I went through this contest called Miss Oriole. We had to go and be interviewed by all of these people.
How many Miss Orioles were there ever? Are you the only one, or were there a couple more like
you? There were a couple. I was the last one. I do know that. And I look back now and I laugh. I mean, you know, I've got this poster with a uniform on, with, you know, dialed up hair, with baseball bat. And
it was the '80s, Bon. I bet you had great hair in the '80s. We all did. Well, I had great hair in the '80s.
Just wouldn't fly today, nor would if I saw my daughter like that. I'd be like, I don't think so. You know, it's just times have changed, but probably the best summer of my life. I was 22, walking around, you know, promoting the Orioles on radio stations and whatever.
And you're a Bel Air girl, right? Like literally,
Bel Air
right?
girl. Yeah, right. I was born in Baltimore. But then, you know, I ended up dating an Oriole, and because I'd go through the outfield, and one of our closer friends, Ken Gerhardt, who we're very good friends with still today, came over and just said, hey, you know, this guy kind of would like to talk to you. I'm like, oh, no, I can't. Next thing you know, we dated. And then, you know, 4 years later, we got married. So it's a very, very cool story.
Did even baseball players send over the other guy to talk to the girl?
He did.
How's he doing? Right? How's old pitchers doing? All we do is talk about Tommy John and this and that. I don't get to talk to old pitchers. Old pitchers hide from me, Bonnie.
Well, you know, my husband's still working. He's working for the Kansas City Royals in their minor league area. And so he coaches a team down in Columbia, South Carolina, you know, the pitchers. So we still have our hands in some sort of baseball. And he certainly does, you know, it's just part of who he is. It's part of his DNA. So baseball, I think, will always be a big, big part of our lives, you know, in a good way.
Like Chico Escuela, baseball been better, better good to you.
Absolutely.
The book itself and writing the book, the last time I saw you, mom was alive. Your mom worked at the mall, right?
She did.
Yeah, I remember your mom worked
great.
At the mall, right?
He worked at Harford Mall for years. Yes.
Bless
her
heart. Tell me about your mom. What did your mom do?
Well, she only went to the 9th grade, which is very interesting, but she made me promise at a very young age that I would have a job and a career. So, you know, kind of growing up in that time period in the 40s, right? They were all kind of focused on home economics. I mean, how things have changed from that generation to my generation, to my daughter's generation. But she was a great mom, just very focused on the home. And I always think kind of a little bit of ahead of her time, but she didn't work for many years. And then after my dad died, she had to go back to work, and she went back to work at Macy's in the Harford Mall for about 20 years, 20, 25 years. In fact, she didn't stop working until she was around 87. And that was after she fell. She just couldn't go back. So she loved her job. And you know, even up to the last couple of months, she'd tell me she would want to go back to work. And we'd think of jobs that she could possibly do just to keep her happy. But
well, she would be around people, clearly, right? I mean,
what's that?
She wanted to be around people. She gets up 80 years old, going to the mall to work at Macy's. She's that lady. We've all seen that lady at the mall. And we're like, that lady likes people. Be nice to that lady.
People loved her. She was very chatty, very, you know, would get outfits together for people. Just a very bubbly, outgoing person. Liked to dance on tables a little bit. Told me I should do that sometime. You know, she did it about 6 times in her life. So she definitely had a very good party mentality.
You wrote a book about her philosophy, The World According to Bess. And I guess bringing that full circle to the TEDx talk. I mean, she clearly not here to see that, but the thoughts about her in the framework of saying thank you to people.
Listen, one of the last things my mom said to me, because we had very, you know, intimate conversations about life and death. And I asked her, I said, Ma, are you afraid to die? And she said, no, but I just don't want you to be lonely. Right. So, I mean, it's that kind of connection that only a mother, daughter, mother, child, father, son have. And what a beautiful thing to be able to share that and be able to celebrate all of those things, fun, sad, bittersweet, you know, it's life. And unfortunately we all have to go through it, but I was able to take that with me through that TEDx talk and dream come true. I never thought that that would occur, and it did. So it's great.
Well, I'll tell you, people told me you should apply for Jeopardy or this. And I'm like, I'll get my ass kicked on. I don't want to do, you know, but people like encourage you to do things that maybe are a little outside of your comfort level.
Uncomfortable. Yes.
And if Jeopardy absolutely called me and I got the audition, it would be a thrill, right? Like whatever.
Oh, I wouldn't go on there. I wouldn't look very smart. No,
I would
thank
get killed.
You.
Yeah. I'd you know, be have fun playing, you know, I'd probably be better with Wheel of Fortune or something, but nonetheless, like, putting yourself out there to do this, give me the soup to nuts on the process, because I really did wonder. I don't know you well. I've loved having you on. Like watching your husband pitch, and I'm an Oreo guy and all that, but I fell in love with your stories about your mom, and then I found that she had passed.
Yeah.
And this TEDx thing happens, and I'm wondering, because people have said to me, oh, and I'm like, I don't have anything that like
you
profound,
don't know that. I mean, you don't know that. There may be something. I would say this: you must feel passionate, so passionate about it that you're willing to write a speech, go through many iterative versions, and also do it at least 250 times, because that is the amount of time many times I did it before I got on that stage. You have to know it, breathe it. It has to be part of you.
You could do it for me right now.
I could, yeah.
I'm not going to ask you to, because I'm going to make people go out and watch it is what I'm going to do.
Definitely. I mean, I'm going to have a little bit of a video launch party once it kind of gets out there. And I'm very excited about
so
that.
It's not out yet. You did it, but, oh, okay. So I can't go watch it today.
No, it's TEDx has to go through the TED process. They have to approve it. And I pray to God, they don't have any issues with it, but yeah, they have to approve it. And then it usually takes about 2 months. So I'm like, you know, you get through that process and you so bad want to get out there with it, but it's another thing to look forward
to. That's the other thing.
To.
If I was ever on Jeopardy, I wouldn't be able to tell anybody, right? If I won or lost, you'd have to, you know, you're not allowed
like
to do
like The Bachelor,
anything.
Right? Yeah, no.
Our lips are sealed. Okay. Well, I know you did it and I know the topic and you're going to let me know when it's out, right?
I will. Trust me. Everyone will know when it's out because it's something, actually it went very well. I was very pleased with it. You just don't know when you get up there, what's going to happen, but I feel really good about it. So I'm really excited to share it. And I hope if it makes one person think, you know what, totally worth it.
Well, I think, you know, public speaking's your thing, Bon. You know,
I
if I'm guessing
I
here,
like it.
but please let us know. Please answer us. Now, I must ask you this on the whole like Oriole alum thing and all of that. The team's getting bought by like someone else. We're a little excited about that around here. You coming back for a ball game? Do you guys come down here for some games sometimes?
I have not been. I mean, it's so funny. I was following a lot last year. And of course, I have family there. So they're just huge Orioles fans.
You were Miss Oriole, for crying out loud. Don't disappoint me. Come on now.
People don't even know what the heck that is. No, I haven't been there for some time. My daughter and John did the first pitch. Gosh, maybe 15 years ago. It's been a while. But
it's time to get you back here.
Heart.
It's time to get you back here and him back here and Habian family first pitch and promote the TEDx talk about
absolutely
giving appreciation. Give me the name of the speech again, for because I keep saying telling somebody
it's a
thank you.
Long. Who has impacted your life and have you told them yet?
All right. Who has impacted your life and have you told them yet? That's a mouthful, but I got that out.
It is mouthful, but you know what? It is what it is. That's it. Have you told them?
Well, I am proud of you.
Go home and tell your wife tonight.
Getting the book done, having this relationship with your mother. You're always a great guest to come on. You always sort of lifts my spirits. I'm going to shave and look good next time. I feel terrible that I didn't get fixed up for this thing. You're other than my, I look like a guy from Dundalk going on an Oreo game, which is pretty much what I am.
You look comfortable. I got to share something with you though. You talked about crab cakes. I got a shout out to my brother a few weeks ago. He kept telling me I was going to get a surprise. Guess what my surprise was? 4 crab cakes from Maryland. I was so excited.
All right.
It's not your favorite, but it's my favorite.
Well, you know, believe me, I'm a Maryland crab cake guy.
I know you did your whole tour.
I could ship you some cocoa, some Costa, some I got crab cake.
I know.
Pappas. I got them all. So whatever they are, and if you like them, that's like, you haven't had all of them, but I have. And I'll
I have not.
And I will give you a little around the beltway.
You can give me a critique.
Well, you know, no one worked harder. You've done 250 speeches to get your speech right.
I
about
did the,
people that,
that
have impacted your
least
life, and have you told them? I've had 250 crab cakes to impact your life to make sure you get the right crab
cakes. Trade that off. Take the crab cakes.
Well, get down here and see a ball game with us, all right? And
I
come
will
down and
do.
let the world know about the Miss Oriole from Bel Air doing well
Yes.
up there with her marketing gig. Bonnie Habian is our guest. Bonnie Lorber-Habian. I want to throw the family name in there as well. The book is The World According to Bess, B-E-S-S. Bess was her mom. A funny, unfiltered memoir of life lessons from my 90-year-old mom. And a beautiful picture of you in a very cute little ballerina suit on the front with
Still right
mom.
here with me. Yep.
The Bess's Wisdom is available on Amazon. It is a click away, and Bonnie's also a click away, and she's going to have her TEDx talk, I guess, May, fingers crossed, end of April,
Fingers
May.
crossed. I will keep you updated. And thank you so much. Always a pleasure, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I know why John fell for you. You're a cool one from Bel Air. So, you
Thank
know,
you.
Miss Oriole forever, as you'll be.
That's
Bonnie
for sure.
Lorber-Habian, her book is The World According to Bess. Go out and find that out at Amazon. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I got my lottery tickets, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, as well as our newest sponsor, Liberty Pure Solutions. They do clean water, so the water I drink here is tasty. I'm drinking it out of the orange. I got orange goggles. I'm all oranged up. The sun's coming up. Luke will be covering the Orioles. I will be covering the Orioles. The Ravens, the NFL owners' meetings are later on this month. Luke and I are going to be running around Sarasota, Florida, sunning ourselves later on in the month. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking good stuff. No more Baltimore positive segment than that.